continue there. Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read down the passages that were our text for this evening, and then pick up where we left off, amen. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 41, we begin reading there. It said, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, with breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you tonight again for the good old word of God, the King James Bible tonight, Lord. I just pray that you bless our time tonight. I pray you'd remove me from this hunk of flesh, Lord, and just fill me with thy spirit. Father, help me to preach in the right spirit. Help us to just say those things that will edify the hearer tonight, Lord. Help us to learn tonight. Help us to show us some things, some principles tonight in the Word of God that we've never seen before. Help us to draw closer to thee in these end times. Father, now we commit the rest of this evening into thy hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So this morning we saw some things this morning. We looked at some things that you and I as Christians need to be continuing in. Number one, we looked that we need to be continuing in prayer. Number two, we need to continue in praise. Number three, we need to continue in the place or coming to the local New Testament church. And we saw that we need to continue in the precepts. Now, tonight we want to pick up and say that we need to continue in the practice. Now, we see there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And I know that I brought this out, that it meant that they should continue in the precepts or continue in the Word of God. But I think it means much more than that, just reading and studying the Word of God. But it means that we as Christians today, just as they did back then, are to continue in the practice. This also applies not only to the precepts or the Word of God or God's words, but also to practice. The early church continued in the practice or in the things of the faith. Paul said this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. He said, "Continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel." He said, continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, amen. That hope of the gospel is you and I, our resurrection someday, and we'll talk about that later on. But we're to continue in the faith, to be grounded in the faith, amen, in the things of the faith, amen. We also see over there in 1 Timothy, and as we turn there, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, it says Paul was giving Timothy some instructions, and he says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." So he said, take heed unto thyself, Timothy, and unto the doctrine, continue in them. Alrighty, there's a twofold purpose, okay? It says, he also said, in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now I believe that has nothing to do with saving or salvation, and meaning being saved, not going to hell, but to heaven, amen. I believe it means something else tonight. And it says it has a twofold purpose to continue in the doctrine or the faith. Number one, it also has to be concerned with the minister or Timothy himself, and it goes back to studying the Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of God, where a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. For example, we need to take heed in the doctrine. In other words, we preached a little bit about it this morning, looking out thyself for bad women, looking out for bad men, paying attention to your thought life, amen. Paying attention to your thought life. Over there, I believe it is in Psalms chapter 19, it says this, Psalms chapter 19 and verse 14, It says this in Psalm 19:14, "Let the words of my mouth, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." That's what you and I need to do. I need to do as a preacher, amen, as a pastor, and you need to do as a Christian, as a child of God, is to pay attention to your thought life, amen. Then also, continuing in to save thyself, amen, to keep your sins judged and confessed, according to 1 Corinthians chapters 10 and 11. We're to continue, we're to keep our sins judged and confessed. We're to watch our temper. We're to watch our temper, amen. We're to forgive quickly and don't harbor grudges, amen. Also, we're to make sure that we spend time in the book and prayer, amen. We talked about those things earlier. And as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, abstain from all appearances of evil, amen. Continue in the doctrines. These are the things of the doctrine of the faith, amen. And then also we see that also them that hear thee. It also applies to the minister or to the congregation here and the salvation of the congregation's spiritual health, amen, if we continue in the doctrine. Then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." In other words, you are to continue in the faith. Continue in the things that you've learned from the man of God, amen, from your preacher, from your pastor. You're to continue in them. And whose authority does he get that from? He gets that from the Word of God, from the author of the Scriptures. That's my authority to teach you and feed you. And you should continue in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of. Not only have you learned the things from me, but the book also backs it up, what I have to say, amen. If anything that I say isn't backed up by the book, then you shouldn't listen to it. You shouldn't continue in it. Paul said over and over again, "Follow me as I follow Christ, amen. And as I follow Christ, you follow me, amen." That's why you have to continue to pray for your pastor. You know, would it be continuing prayer? If you think about all the things that we need to be praying about, there'll be no time not to continue in prayer. That's why I covet your prayers, amen. So Paul said to Timothy, "Be continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." It's a shame if you leave here with the things that are brought out from the Word of God and it has absolutely no impact on your life. It's a shame. It really is. You should continue those things. You shouldn't just leave them here, amen, the things that you've taught and you learned here. You should take them out and you should apply them day in and day out in your Christian walk. You should continue in the faith or continue in the practice of the things of the faith, amen. Today, God's people in His church are to continue in the practice, the faith. Continue in the things you have learned, amen, from God's Word and God's man. And it doesn't matter, no matter how counter they are to society, amen, they may seem, amen, you ought to continue in them. You ought to continue in the things of the faith, to continue in the things of the doctrine, the things that you have learned, amen, from me and from reading the Scriptures, no matter how counter they are to society. The Bible, as you read, is counter to society. Amen. Society is counter to the Bible. Everything that the Bible has to say, amen, society's doing it the opposite way today. That's why we're in such a problem today. That's why our families and our government and our churches are in such disarray, amen, because they're going counter to the Word of God. You know, God laid down some precepts, some doctrines, some things of the faith that you and I are to continue in, amen. You know, God's a God of order. He said, it says for everything to be done decently in our order, and that's how we want some done, amen. So when you go and you go into some of these churches and they're doing backflips and they're falling down on the floor and gibbering and jabbering and so forth and so on, that's confusion. That's not anything being done decently in order, amen. It's counter to the Word of God. So we see then, point number 5 of the 7 things that we're continue in is we're to continue in the practice of the things of the faith, amen. We're not to, you know, as it says in Ephesians 4:14, it says, "Be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's how a child is. A child can be swayed. You know, for 1 minute his attention is focused here, and 1 minute his attention is a focus there, amen? And 1 minute his attention is focused on the back door, amen? Or 1 minute his attention is over here, but it goes to and fro, amen? It's very easy. Someone will come and sway that individual, you know? And that's what we have to be careful as Christians, that we're not children and tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know, someone will come up and say this, you know, hey, healing for today. Oh, really? It is? Wow. Hey, can you heal me? You know, can you throw your hands? Go to the Word of God. We're not to be thrown to and fro like the wind, amen, by every wind of doctrine, amen. We saw a few weeks back, maybe a few months back there, this documentary on all these different things, you know, guys up there with holy laughter saying, you know, let it bubble out your belly, amen. That's a wind of doctrine, amen. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness will they lie in wait to deceive you. These people that are doing these things are deceiving people because they have not continued in the practice and the faith, amen. They have not continued in the Word of God, amen. That's why when all these different cults come around and they spiel their stick and they do their doctrine, that the person has been able to be captive by them, amen. So we see that we want to continue in the practice. Now, the next thing we want to see, the early church, they continued in the purpose. They continued in the purpose. Over there in Acts chapter 2, in our passage this evening, Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, and it says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat, with gladness and singleness of heart." Amen. So we see then that they continued daily. They continued daily, it says. They continued daily with one accord. One accord. And singleness of heart. Amen. They were one accord. They were one heart, one mind. Amen. They were all pulling together. See, and that's the way it should be in a church. We've all got the same Holy Spirit, if you're saved. And I talked about it last week. We all have the same measure of it, amen. We all get the same amount of Holy Spirit. Some of us are filled and some of us are not, amen. But the thing is, if we're of the same Spirit, we should be of the same mind. We should be of one accord. We should be pulling together, amen. All the oars should be in the, you know, if you think about it as a boat. You know, I used to love to, growing up by the ocean there, I had a rowboat, a small little boat. I'd go out, my brother and I, or sometimes alone, and row for hours, amen. But, and sometimes that we try to, my brother would have one oar, and I would have the other oar. And if we weren't hitting the water at the same time, the boat kept going this way, and that way, and this way, and that way, amen. So as a church, we all have to have the oars in the water at the same time and coming back. So we make a nice straight line going forward in one heart and one accord, one mind. Now, what happens, unfortunately, a lot of churches is somebody gets a mindset, okay? Someone says, I want to go off in this direction. I want to do it my way. So they start pulling out of sync with the other rowers in the boat, amen. And then all of a sudden, the boat is no longer going a nice straight line. It's going over here, amen. It's going over here, amen. And then what happens, unfortunately, as a pastor of the church, and when he gets to deal with that person, says, hey, we're in here together. We're for one purpose, one heart, one mind, one accord. We've got to all pull together if we're gonna you know, finish the race out here, amen. Person says, hey, and unfortunately, what you see, a lot of those people have left, and that position is left. That position is left. That oar is no longer in the water, amen. And there are less people to do more of the work. Unfortunately, we got to be pulling together. We see the early church. They were continued in purpose of one accord, singleness of heart. They did it, one mind, one spirit. And the reason they did that is they were yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. See, that's our problem for most Christians today. We don't want to be yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. We don't want to yield ourselves. We don't want to present ourselves, you know. We don't want to present ourselves a sacrifice unto God. Holy and acceptable, our bodies, a sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, as it says in Romans chapter 12. But we want to go our own way, and that's because that's what society is teaching you. Amen. To go your own way. and not to pull together as a team effort. We've got too many prima donnas in our society today. We don't have any more team players anymore, and unfortunately, it's crept its way into the church, amen. That's why the church, God ordained the church, and the pastor is over the church. He's your shepherd. I'm your shepherd here, and that's why I'm to have the authority here, and that's why I'm to give the orders. And people are to, for the most part, they should fall into place and follow me, amen, as I follow Christ, and the thing will work. When we don't do that, when we don't do that and we want to have, you know, this little group over here and that little group over there and this boss and that boss, the thing ain't going to work. It's just going to end up, it's going to be like a boat. It's going to get grounded up in the water, amen. It's going to hit the beach or hit the rocks or whatever. It just ain't going to work because God didn't create it that way. Continue in purpose. Continuing in purpose, okay? Planting and watering. Paul talks about that. You and I basically are to plant and water. We're to plant and water, okay? That's what we're to do. God will give the increase. We're to plant and we're to water, amen. We're continually to go forth, as it says in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 this evening. He says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of the faith. Amen. So we're to keep going. We're not to get weary. We're not to get weary in well-doing. Amen. Because we shall reap. We shall reap as we go forth. You know, it says over there, I shared this with the ladies on Saturday as before we went out, putting out the tracks, amen. Psalm 126:6 says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. They continued in purpose, the early church. They were busy for God. You know, they were daily in the temple, amen. They were fellowshipping, they were breaking bread, they were doing things of the Lord. They didn't have any time on their hands, amen. They didn't have any time on their hands. When you have time on your hands, that's when the devil will get in there. He'll get into your thought life, and he'll make you think about this, that, and the other thing, about the pastor or somebody else in the church, amen. You know, quite honestly, people need to grow up in the church. They need to grow up and get a life, amen, and get busy for God, amen, instead of stewing about some things or thinking about some things. You know, the devil will get in there and he'll make you think. You know, and I'm not picking on the ladies, but I tell you, Satan beguiled a woman, and he's very good at beguiling the ladies, amen. Okay? He gets the men through our eye gate. Okay? Our downfall is what we see, amen. A lady's downfall in the scriptures, if you read it, is what she hears, amen. So a lot of times Satan will get in there and try to beguile the ladies, especially, amen. We gotta be on guard about that. The early church was a purpose church. They purposed in their heart to serve the Lord and others and put others first. That was their purpose. We should be here, amen. Our goal here is to tell the community around us, evangelize the world around us, to tell them about the Lord, how they can be saved, bring people in and disciple people. And we're to have a vision even beyond that, amen. Our vision beyond is the mission field, amen. And some days if we... Some, with the grace of God, if the Lord tarries and we get bigger, we should also be planting other churches, other Bible-believing churches, amen. You know? And I should be raising up other shepherds, amen, to take on those Bible-believing churches. This is the vision that we have to have here, to go beyond. It's not just here, amen. Our vision is to go beyond here, amen. I know we're very small, but with the grace of God, amen, someday, maybe we'll be able to do those things. To plant other local Bible-believing churches, amen. And I'll be able to raise up some men in the church that'll be shepherds, amen. To be able to take over these Bible-believing churches. But that's what we're here for. We're here, singleness, we have a purpose to do the work of the Lord, amen. You know, the laborers are, the harvest is plenteous, as Jesus said, but the laborers are few, amen. We need laborers. You know, we don't need prima donnas. We need laborers in the Lord's work, amen. We need people, we need team players that are going to be able to, you know, be subject to change, be able to do things at a drop of a hat and not let the change bother them or get them or just be able to go. You know, there's some kids over there that need to be picked up or whatever it may be. They'll go, amen, because they're in it. They're a signalist of heart, purpose of heart. We need to be of one mind, one spirit, and one accord and available for God to use us. But that church was a church that also continued in purpose. And that's what you and I need to do, is to continue in purpose here at Open Door Baptist Church. And all churches all over America, all good Bible-believing churches, are to continue in purpose. We're to bring them in. We're to disciple them. We're to help people, you know, reach out to people, amen, and have a caring heart, amen, and ground them in the Word of God and teach them the Word of God, amen. And that's what we are to do. That's our goal. We've got to pull together, amen. Finally, let me say this evening, even though it's not contained in the passage, but I believe wholeheartedly that in order for the early church and the children of God, we've seen six things so far. They continued in prayer, in praise, in place, in precepts, in practice, and in purpose. In order to do this, I really believe, even though it's not brought out there in the passage, that they had to continue in patience. They had to continue in patience. You know, patience is something that our flesh just does not like. The flesh hates to wait for things. The flesh wants it now. You know, I want relief now, amen. I want the easy solution to my problem. I want it now. I want it done and finished with, amen. But I'll tell you one thing. If you're going to amount for anything for God, if you're going to stick in there when the time gets hard, you need, not only do we need a boatload of grace, amen, to get us through. We get saved by grace, but we need grace to get through this life. But we also need a boatload of patience, amen. We need a boatload of patience to get through it. Ecclesiastes says this in verse 7-8, patient in spirit is better than proud in spirit. Patient in spirit is better than proud. So we ought to continue in patience. Now, if you look up patience in the dictionary, some words that talk about patience is bearing or forbearing or enduring pain, trouble, etc., without complaining, losing self-control and making a disturbance, etc. Some words that we connect with patience is long-suffering, amen. You know, we have a long-suffering God. We have a patient God, amen. We don't get half of what we deserve, amen. Also forbearance, endurance, perseverance. All of these things talk about being patient, being long-suffering, you know. Moderation, self-control, amen. Not flying off at the handle, amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Patient in tribulation. You and I, as hard as it may seem, the Word of God says when you and I are going through tribulation, amen, we're to take it with patience. As hard as it may seem. You know, we want it over with. We want it quick. We want to get through this problem, no matter how it seems. But we're to take it with patience. Patience. We're to be long-suffering. We're to forbear, amen. We're not to quit. We're not to faint. We're not to grow weary. We're to take whatever situation we're in and go through it with patience, amen. We're to, as it says, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation. Patient in tribulation. Hey, there's no matter what you can do, amen. You can scream and holler and stamp your feet up and down and get mad at God, but when you're in it, and he's not going to take you out of the situation, take you out of the tribulation until he's good and ready, amen. So you just got to be patient. You got to learn that patience, amen. You know, I think sometimes that we hate red lights when we're driving our car, amen. We hate those red lights, amen. We hate traffic, amen. But those are times when you and I got to learn to learn patience, amen. He puts us in those situations to learn patience, amen. He may, oftentimes you'll be driving along and all of a sudden a little old lady from Pasadena will pull out in front of you and she'll drive 20 miles an hour in a 40-mile-an-hour zone. And it's a double yellow line. Boy, do you want to cross that double yellow line and pass that little old lady from Pasadena. But it takes a lot of patience, amen, just to remain there, amen, and just wait till she gets going wherever she's going and there's a situation where you can get around her, amen, and not cause any danger or harm. But we got to go through things patiently. We're to go through them with patience, amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 tells us that tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation worketh patience, amen. That's the only way that you're going to grow patient, amen. That's the only way you're going to grow patient is through tribulation, by going through some things. By, you know, sometimes problems They don't get solved overnight. Sometimes it takes days. Sometimes it takes weeks. Sometimes it takes months. Sometimes it takes years. You know, but you've got to grow a thick layer of patience on you if you're going to amount anything, you know, for God, amen. You got to go through the thing with patience. With patience. Tribulation worketh patience, amen. That's how you get it. That's how you get patience. You got to grow through. You got to go through some things. You just don't, you know, read about it in the book and say, okay, I'm patient now, amen. No way. It doesn't work. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of experience. It takes a lot of trials and tribulations to go through to develop patience. That's why sometimes you see some of the oldest saints of God that they're going through some things and it's no big deal to them. Because they've developed patience through tribulation, amen. Well, aren't you upset? Aren't you worried about it? Well, why aren't you going ballistic? Why aren't you bouncing off the walls? But because of what you're going through. Because they've gone through trials and tribulations, and they've developed patience. And they've seen the Lord work in His own time. And that's what you and I need to do, is allow the Lord to work, to stick with it, to go through the thing, and just be patient and go through it. I know it isn't easy. I know it isn't easy. But God says He'll reward us if we take things. It says this. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, it says, If when ye do well and suffer for it. This is if when ye do well, not when you do wrong or bad. It says, if when ye do well and suffer for it, take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. When you suffer, do it patiently. And when you suffer and you've done good and you've done right and you're suffering for it, you're going to take it patiently. Okay? Because it's acceptable to God. If you've done well I just don't understand it, you know, and I'm doing everything right for God, and why am I going through this? And that's not going to be acceptable to God. He says, take it patiently. If you do something, if you're doing well and you're suffering for it and you're being persecuted for it, amen, suffer, go through it, do it patiently. This is acceptable to God. Of course, in that other verse, I haven't given you the other part of the verse. He says, if you do wrong, you know, and you've stepped on your own foot and you're suffering for it, hey, that's too bad. Don't complain about it, amen. But this he's saying, if you've been doing right, if you're doing well and you're living for God, amen, and you're suffering for it, and as Paul said, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, okay, do it patiently. Patiently, all through the scriptures, do it patiently. Romans chapter 2, verse 7 says, to whom? Who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Be patient. In other words, be patient in your well-doing. Be patient in your well-doing. You know, sometimes you go out and you do different things for the Lord and you think nothing's ever going to come about it, amen, you know. You go out and you know, you're trying to work to maybe bring people into the church and you're trying to reach out to some people and it doesn't seem like anything's paying off, amen. But he says to be patient. Be patient in your well-doing, amen. Then I like it says what Paul says. You know, Paul, I don't know if he was any kind of an athlete or anything, but he used to bring out illustrations in the scripture, and he used to talk about, you know, like he'd talk about the, like it was the Olympics and running the race and boxing terms and everything. But he says to us, he tells us, he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And of course, we know the race is whatever God has given you and I to do. Okay? Now he says, run it with patience. Okay? You're going to get knocked down, get up. Don't quit. Just keep going on no matter how rough it gets. He says, run it with patience. In other words, the race that you and I have here on earth to run is not a 100-yard dash, amen. It's not, you know, you get saved, boom, you hit the starting block, and it's over with. The Lord takes you home. Sometimes we're here from the day we get saved for years and years and years and years. So that run that you and I are running is a marathon. And as I brought out before, we're not competing against anyone. We're running the race for God. We're to run it with patience, amen. You know, there's going to be trials and tribulations that I said over and over again that are going to beset us. They're going to try to weigh us down, amen, and get us out of the race, you know, to quit the race, amen. I praise God. You see those folks that, in the marathon, the Boston Marathon, and you see them, or even in the Olympics, they hardly have any strength left in themselves, amen. But they just keep on going, and they're maybe not running, but they're coming across that finish line, and they run the 26 miles, amen. And they just about collapse as they hit the finish line. As they cross the finish line, they collapse, amen. But I praise God. I praise God. I'm going to run that race with patience. And when I cross that, I don't know what condition I'm going to be in. I may be like those runners, amen, that just barely make it. But I know when I hit that tape and I fall in, well, you know who's going to catch me is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just going to fall right into his arms, amen. Right into his arms when I break that tape, amen. But that race, Paul says, that is before us, we're to run it with patience. If you don't run it with patience, you're going to burn out. You know, you're gonna get burned out. The cares and the troubles of the world are gonna choke you, amen. You're not gonna finish the race. You're not gonna lose your salvation, but you're not gonna finish what God has given for you to do, amen. So you gotta do it with patience. It may take, you know, you may hit as you go through that race, you may hit a smooth thing. Everything's gonna go. You know, you're just gonna keep going quick. Nothing's gonna get in the way, and then you're gonna get another patch of race. Of course, it's gonna be trials and tribulations. And it's going to be slow moving and slow going, amen. But you got to do that with patience. Patience. All through the scriptures, we have to, it brings out that you and I have to continue in patience. You know, it's interesting. One of the qualifications of a pastor or a bishop over there in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, it says he has to be patient. Patient. And it makes sense. You know, you need if you're going to have a shepherd, a man of God that's going to lead you here, it doesn't make sense to have a man who's going to fly off the handle over everything, little thing that happens. I need to be patient. I need a boatload of patience. I'm probably by nature, one of the most impatient people that you'll ever want to know, amen. My wife will tell you, she'll testify to that, amen. But I've had to learn to be patient. I've learned to be, had to be patient, amen. You need to learn to be patient, amen. You know, we need to learn to be patient with one another, amen. You know, sometimes I feel that maybe some of you should be further along in your Christian growth than you're not, but I have to be patient and give you the things to help you to get there, amen. So we need to, the man of God needs to be patient. It says in 2 Timothy, it talks about the servant, again, the servant of the Lord in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 24, it says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, it says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach patience." Patient. Patient. Okay? We have to be patient in our teaching of people, amen, as servants of the Lord. You know, sometimes we get very frustrated with people, amen. We want to shake them. What's wrong with you? You know, amen. Look what all God has done for you. He saved you. He's given you a home in heaven. And he just has some simple things that he wants you to go by, and you're not doing them. But we've got to be patient in the way we teach people, amen. And just our approach in dealing with people. We have to be patient with them, amen. I know there's a point, I believe, as long as someone is trying, honestly trying. You know, if we have some people that are playing games and they're just here in the church to get what they can get and so forth and so on, I think we need to, you know, deal with those people appropriately. But if people sincerely trying, you know, to be right with God, trying to seek the Lord for themselves, we need to be patient. We need to be patient in teaching them and bringing them up in the things of the Lord. We need to be patient in dealing with them. We have to have a patient spirit, amen. You know, it's just like if some of you are on the job and you're training somebody to do something, amen. You know, a lot of times, I train a lot of people, amen. I have people that come on constantly learning the job like I did. I was trained. Someone had to be patient with me so I could learn contracting, amen. And a lot of people come and I train them, and I have to be patient with them. And some people don't pick up things as quite rapidly as others. But you have to be patient. We have to develop patience in dealing with people as servants of the Lord and teaching them things in our approach to them, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14 says, it's an exhortation. It's an exhortation. He says, be patient toward all men. Be patient toward all men. And that's how we should be in our dealings with people in general. Patience. You know, patience. You know, we shouldn't fly off the handle all the time. Sometimes you have to be a little bit aggressive with people to get your point across, especially if somebody's trying to rip you off or something. But overall, we're to be patient with people. You know, we're to be patient. You know, I think especially with older folks. You know, I think about, you know, my mother, for example, she's 85 and she took the stroke and she doesn't get around as long. You know, when I get her up out of the chair, I have to be patient with her. Patient for her to get up, get her feet steady and help her along with the walker to go over to the potty or wherever it is, to the table or whatever it is. You know, just like when we were babies, our parents had to be patient with us, amen. You know, we did some crazy little things, stupid little things that we didn't know better, amen. But we need to be patient overall towards one another. That's what we don't have. There's no patience anymore. People assume beat you over the head today and rob you, amen. There's no patience in society anymore. Because again, society has taught TV, everything that you look at, now, do it now, get it now, want it now, you know. That's all that TV is. All that TV teaches each and every person that watches it for any amount of time is covetousness. You know, that you are not, you will be better off if you have such and such, amen. You know, you'll be better off if you haven't got it all unless you'll have such and such. That's all that boob tube, all those commercials portray. So we're to be patient, toward all men. And then let me say this, we need to be patient. It says patient, waiting for the Lord's return, amen. Patient for the Lord's return. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5 says this, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. James 5, 7 says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. And then Paul says in 1 Thessalonians to the church of Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We are continuing, we are, you and I, to continue in patience waiting for the Lord's return, waiting for our resurrection, amen. Like I mentioned this morning, some of us, if the Lord comes soon, before we die, before we, you know, get buried 6 feet under, we're still alive, he'll come and will rapture us up. We will not see any physical death, amen. We'll get brought, this body, this vile body will change. But if we die, and he hasn't returned, and we're still in the grave, but praise God, our hope is that he arose, we will arise, amen. Would it be patient for his return to get us, to resurrect us, amen? That's the hope that lies within you and I, is that resurrection, amen. That death, where is thou sting? That death no longer has a hold on you and I, amen. That we do not have to fear death anymore when it comes, because we, absent from the body, present with the Lord, amen. We're to be patient, waiting for the Lord. James tells us in first chapter 1 of James, chapter 4, chapter 4, 1 of James, verse number 4, tells us this. James tells us this, but let patience, James 1, 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, through patience, we are conformed to the image of Christ. Through patience, you and I are conformed to the image of Christ. That's why we need patience to get through this. And we can obtain that patience, the Bible tells us, from the Scriptures and from God. See, turn to Romans chapter 15 with me, if you would. We'll be closing. Romans chapter 15, to see where we can get patience. Romans chapter 15, it says, in verse number 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience in the comfort of the Scripture might have hope. So we see then, things that were written before were for a purpose for us, that we can have patience. That we can have patience and hope through the Scriptures. That's why they were written for us. So we can have patience and hope through the Scripture. And then it says in verse 5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Now the God of patience. God is a God of patience. You need patience, ask Him for it. Ask Him to rain down a bunch of patience. I need patience, you need patience. Everybody needs patience. Everybody needs patience today. We need, as a church and as children of God, to continue in patience. To continue in patience. So we see then, this morning and tonight, collectively, we've looked at seven things that the early church continued in and that you and I today need to continue in. They haven't gone out of vogue. They're still in. We need to continue. We looked at in great length to continue in prayer. All right? To continue in praise. The praise of God needs to be continually on our mouth. Amen. We need to continue in the place. We talked about the place being right here. Amen. We need to continue to come here. Amen. When the doors are open, we need to continue in the precepts and the Word of God and studying the Word of God. We need to continue in the practice of the faith, not only reading and studying the Word of God, but putting in those things that you've learned into practice and holding on to those things and not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Amen. We need to continue in the purpose. We need to be of one accord, go out there with gladness, pulling together, rowing together, amen, to bring people in, to save souls, to build up the... To do the work of the Lord, amen? And then I believe, also with all of those, to be able to do all of those, we need to continue in patience. And as I brought out this morning, we saw as a result of the early church, continuing those things, the results. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, it says this. As we come to the end, it says, praising God and having favor with all people in Acts chapter 2:47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. So what we're saying here tonight, if we continue in those things that we've talked about as a minimum, then God has promised, as he did back then, to add to his church. He'll build the church, but we need to continue to be in those things. He'll add to this church here, amen, if we'll but continue to be in, continue in prayer and praise and place and precepts and practice and purpose and patience. He'll add to this church. He's promised it. It's right in the Word of God. But you have to do it. I can't do it alone. I have to be doing it myself, but we all need to be continuing all these things. Amen. We all are responsible for this church. Not just me. I'm the shepherd. I'm the overseer. Amen. Okay? But it's also your church as much as my church. And I can't do it alone, amen. You know, we need to do it all together, collectively. I'm only one man. But the Lord needs laborers. He needs people that will continue in these things, amen. We're going to have a time of invitation. As I asked this morning, are there some things that we've talked about that you need to be continuing in that you haven't continued in? Won't you come and pray about those things tonight, amen? Pray about those things. Come to the altar, amen, and pray about them. Pray about them, amen. Seven things that we need to be continuing in. Are you continuing in them? If you're not, won't you come tonight and pray about them? Let's stand for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I just thank you tonight for the Word of God. I thank you for the seven things that you've shown us this day that we need to be continuing in, Father. Father, I just pray that you'd help us to continue in those things that we mentioned. Lord, I pray that you just give each and every one of us a boatload of patience to be able to continue in those things. Father, now, we just pray as we have our time of invitation that you would have your will and your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.